You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Hello?
I know you've all been freshly awakened, but I have my own things to deal with, as we are about to have a lovely landing.
Welcome to the After Party, Outcast, Episode 5, The Road Before Us. Immediately makes me think of a Supernatural episode, just with that name.
However, it's kind of the polar opposite of one of those, as per usual.
It kind of is, although this one is certainly like a turning point for the show.
Oh, yes.
You know, we've had a lot of sort of, so what the our character's going, what the fuck is going on? And last episode, A Wrath Unseen, we saw Patrick Fugit basically going, confronting his reverend pal and going, look, I'm starting to think that maybe all those exorcisms you did didn't quite work out the way you thought they did.
Which leads us to a fantastic opening shot.
Yes.
There is something about Caitlin Scheel, her ability to stare out through the lens.
You have a real thing for Allison.
I do, but you know, it's weird because the opening shot is very reminiscent of the final shot of Joe Swanberg's Silver Bullets, where it's just Caitlin Scheel holding the camera in exactly that same way for about 5 minutes.
Well, and so
I think because this is directed by Craig Zobel, who did Compliance, and this episode has a lot of that same Compliance kind of very febrile, claustrophobic edge to it.
Yes.
Which is why they gave it to him. You know, I think he understands how to shoot an actress like Caitlin Scheel, which is important because this is Allison's biggest episode to date.
Well, yeah. On an emotional level, this is Kyle going, well, if all these other people didn't really take, how do I know that before I even knew what I was doing, that I managed to successfully kick it out of my own wife? What if my child and my ex-wife are still in danger? And she's starting to, like, realize that maybe things aren't exactly how I thought they were.
Yeah.
Like she's already had one flashback of sort of like, wait, and she's had her daughter tell her, you know, odd things. and she's starting to think that maybe there's more here than what she just assumed. Because we know Kyle just took the blame flat out.
Yeah.
Like, didn't even want her to consider that she was possessed. Was like, nope, it was me. I'm a bad guy. No, I'm out. You know, because that's the most Kyle thing ever.
He is Mr. My fault. Sorry.
But
I'll be over here taking the blame.
As well, it's Kyle and the Reverend going around sort of checking out some of the other people. And we get to see the beginnings of the last shreds of the Reverend's hope.
Yes.
That maybe his greatest fear that all these, you know, not every exorcism he did was a failure. Yeah, guess what? They were.
Yeah.
We get to see his greatest fear is absolutely true. you fucked up in a big way.
Well, as he's already said, you know, the worst sin is pride.
Yeah.
And that, you know, sometimes, you know, in series, they're going to have that kind of reference. It's like, oh, that's the theme of the episode. No, that's the theme of the character.
Yeah, completely. In fact, this, like, I feel like right now we're dealing with an arc with this character where he's got to get over this, you know, that sting. It's called pride. Fuck pride. He's got to learn to fuck pride or he's never going to get any further in this.
Yeah.
Pride is hot, so it's not that bad. But then, you know, Kyle's run is like he's going through all this and getting more and more of a panic about his own wife. And yet in this episode is where it ends with him being like, oh, thank God she's okay. You know, and a sweet moment where she, you know, is because she's starting to realize maybe he didn't actually do anything after all.
Maybe he's not the bad guy.
Yeah.
Which we kind of know.
Yeah, we already pretty much
but
know that.
Then again, you know, yet again this episode is ramping up the idea of, like, we don't know what Kyle is.
Yeah, and it's also even giving little hints of maybe something's going on with his daughter.
Yes.
You know? I mean, there's some super creepy moments with his daughter in this one, where not so much like she's possessed, but that, like, she's a lot smarter and more expressive and more tied into the supernatural world than perhaps your average toddler.
Yeah. But that, I mean, that, again, that's ambiguous. It's just like, is it that, you know, she just grew up in a very strange environment? And I think that's been nice. That's very nicely played in this episode.
As well as, you know, the whole, the high point of the action here where they chase down that runaway Sherry and her actually levitating in the air and another scene of, like, attacking, you know, floating black supernatural sludge coming after Kyle, you know.
Oh, the sludge.
The sludge.
The sludge, which you would have thought that anybody would want to try and avoid anything that's going to be too reminiscent of the X-Files black oil. But yeah, this gets away with it.
It does. Because it behaves in such a different way, completely. And we're still very baffled. Is the sludge presumably it is the very essence of one of these things.
Well, we've got two things that are going on. We have the sludge,
mm-hmm,
and we have the gray ash.
Yes.
So we have two supernatural forces at play, and there is some interplay. And I think, you know, this is what's increasingly becoming the mystery here, is what is the interaction between the gray ash and the black sludge?
Mm-hmm. Well, good question. And what is the relationship of Fire Chief Benedict Arnold and all these things?
Yes.
You know, what's going on there? Because he doesn't really act like one of the possessed, but he clearly has a defined relationship with them. Is he another character like Sydney, who seems to be both one of the possessed and beyond one of the possessed?
Well, you know, I'm less sure about Sydney, about possession, per se.
Mm-hmm.
I think we may be looking at something very different with Sydney. That's my gut.
Yeah, I mean, he's clearly at the very least a royalty or something among these people. Like, he goes to visit Grace Zabriskie's character in this one, and she's like practically kowtows to him.
Yeah.
You know, calling him sir. She's like, call me Sydney, because she doesn't even know what to call him, what his name. She just immediately recognizes that he's a power.
Grace Zabriskie, who has just been so glorious in this season. She's really been spectacularly horrid. And, you know, playing, you know, unrelentingly. You know, I love the fact that what this show does so well with characters like hers is, once the cat is out of the bag with them, it doesn't back up and go, oh, well, maybe they're enigmatic. It's like, you know, we know now. So yeah, may as well play the cards with us.
Yeah, she, once she's given they open the gates for her to go full-blown Zabriskie. Forget about it. She's like the creepiest thing on the planet. As well, we got like the weird wrap-up, I thought, kind of in a way from the trailer and the fingernail where they track down the person and then they're like, they're not actually missing. We know exactly where they are, and here they are.
Which is, I thought, was a glorious Twin Peaks moment.
Yeah.
it kind of felt like when in Twin Peaks when they find the Canadian drug lords.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, is that all?
That's
like, no, really.
It's got to be more complicated.
Yeah, it's
got to
be more complicated than that. That's the thing. I think there's some new layering of plots in here. And I think, you know, previously it was just like, oh, Fire Chief is a bit creepy and weird and might have killed some girls. Like, no, he was up to something.
Yeah.
He's much deeper in this than we thought. I mean, it almost did a bait and switch on that point.
Yeah. It's of all the characters in the show so far, he's kind of the hardest to read what his actual position is to play in all of this.
Yeah.
So we shall see. I think the most shocking moment of this whole episode, though, is when Kyle just goes off on the Reverend.
Yeah.
And he's just like, fuck you, fuck your prayers, fuck your God. You know, I was like, damn, that shit is cold.
Kyle's patience is at an absolute limit, it feels, at this stage.
I mean, I have friends I'm sure I know who were just celebrating when that was happening. And I myself am a loyal heathen to the multi-tentacled spaghetti monster. But that being said, it was just like, damn, that's just some hurtful shit to say there.
Dude, that's just hard.
That's just coming out a little hard then.
Well, I mean, this is the thing. I mean, you know, what Sydney has made clear is that he wants to throw everybody off.
Yeah.
And particularly to keep Kyle separated from everybody. And Kyle seems to be doing a pretty good job of that by himself.
Yeah. Well, he is, like, it's been clear, not the best with people.
No.
No. I mean, like, it's even been insinuated that there is something about his outcast status, the titular outcast status, that goes beyond like just the normal supernatural, but affects normal people where they're like, they just feel uncomfortable around them. So yeah. And if like after a lifetime of that, I imagine you'd kind of be like, you know what?
Fuck limited, limited personal skills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Misanthrope pretty much.
Yeah. You say misanthrope. I say curmudgeon.
You say, yeah, I say misanthrope. Richard says me.
Hello.